Welcome to Pop Culture Man Children. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by Mr. Vincent Forte.
Oh, man. Are we going to talk about diarrhea this episode?
Vin Forte.
I listen to other episodes. I know what this podcast is about.
Thank you so much. Well, I don't have any diarrhea to talk about. Do you have any diarrhea to talk about?
No, we all took our Lactaid before doing this.
Yeah, it is. But I do feel kind of crummy lately. I don't know what it is.
Changing of the weather?
No, I've been trying to change my sleep schedule, and get up earlier, and I feel like that's been super disruptive to all of my systems.
Okay.
But yeah, maybe I'm just old. I don't know. I'm gonna be 41 soon, and I don't know, man. I just don't feel good.
Like everyone's getting older.
It just don't feel good. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling better. I was telling you off mic that I lost 10 pounds.
Awesome.
I've been going outside, getting the old exercise in. And yeah, I kind of feel the same way where I kind of hit a point where I was just like, things need to change. Like I can't let time beat me so soon. And
I feel you.
Yeah, one of the big things, honestly, for people, I know there's tons of people in the same boat. I bought a scale, which I've been hesitant to do for a long time.
Right.
But you need that scale to know what the progress is. Cause there's going to be weeks where like you get on the scale and it's like, oh, nothing really happened. But then, you need to know that, okay, you could get on it a week later and you'll have lost 8 pounds or whatever.
Right. Yeah. I think, the scale can become addictive. I think it's bad to check every day. I weigh myself once a week, always on the same day, so you can see better progress. Every day can be a problem, especially because, like, you know, your metabolism is always going, you know, you could have a lot of volume in you. You know what I mean? Things can change from day to day that aren't actually giving you a good picture of your overall health, whereas I feel like once a week is the best way to do it.
No, absolutely. And you know what? It'll make you not want to eat. Watching a lot of The Pest.
Well, it made me want to eat some delicious roast duck.
Oh, that's true.
So, yeah, today we're talking about the 1997 motion picture, The Pest, starring John Leguizamo, Ari Spears, and Jeff Jones.
Oh, that cad.
That rapscallion.
Yeah. That old vagabond.
He's not in the new Beetlejuice movie for reasons.
No, I wonder why. I wonder why they give old Jeffy a call.
It is interesting, or maybe interesting is not the right word. It is creepy that in this movie, he's like, in the beginning, he's like going around looking for someone and he keeps talking about, like, I'm looking for the right specimen.
Yeah, there is a lot. Yeah, knowing what we know now about Jeffrey Jones, it is weird that it's a lot of him driving around dressed like the safari guy in Jumanji.
Yeah,
it's like I'm looking for the right specimen.
Same thing.
Bring me the boys.
Same thing with his character in Ferris Bueller. There's a lot of weird.
Oh yeah,
stuff there. But besides the Jeffrey Jones of it all, this is an awful movie.
Yeah, and it's funny because I think we're in the same boat where, like, when I was a kid, I loved this movie. Like, because I was a big John Leguizamo fan because of two things, really, before The Pest came along. One, the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Hell yeah.
Because I didn't know any better.
Look it up.
Yeah, because I didn't know any better. And I loved Super Mario Brothers. And I had I went over to sleep over at an older cousin's house. It is. I'll defend it to this day. But I went over to sleep at an older cousin's house, and he was like, hey, you like Super Mario Brothers? Guess what? They made a movie. I was like, what? And he had the VHS tape, and we watched it, and I was like, this is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So I loved him as Luigi. I think he did a great job.
Yes.
And then also, his HBO special.
Yes. Right. Me too. He did a couple of HBO specials. The first one, which was really good, I think it was called Freak.
There was Freak, there was Mambo Mouth, and there's one that we can't say.
Okay.
because it's a word for Latinos. It is a blankorama.
There's a lot. There's a lot of stuff in today's episode that we won't be able to say.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But Freak was based on his one man show, which was kind of like his big thing, and it's like dramatic. He plays every member of his family and his abusive father. It was great. And so if you go in thinking, oh wow, he's this amazing performer, he's so funny, he can embody all these characters, you go into The Pest thinking that's the kind of thing you're gonna get. You know, the freak, the pests. Oh,
You
this is gonna be really deep.
kind of I like you could see what they were trying to do. Basically, they
Yes.
also wanted him to be the next Jim Carrey, is the other thing.
Oh, incredibly so. Incredibly so.
Because all this movie is him, like, we're gonna shuffle him from one situation to the next where he can put on like a disguise or an accent, or I mean the whole beginning of the movie, maybe the best part of the movie in a weird way. Is that that music number?
I agree. I agree. It begins with this rap. Well, the song is called Voodoo Mambo.
Yeah.
And I've got the lyrics here. I want to read through these. I'm not going to necessarily perform it because, again, I'm not out here to get canceled talking about the past. I
Yeah.
can kind of,
He
first of
says the
all,
R word. He definitely says the R word
he says a lot of words in here and he does a lot of accents.
it.
So the idea with the pest is that, well, the character's name is, what's his word? Pistario.
Yeah.
And Pistario, he's a young man. He's
Yeah.
obviously like 43, but he's supposed to be like, I don't know,
But
like 18 or whatever.
he's like a con artist, flim flam man.
Right, but not in a dangerous way, in a like Zach Morris way. You know, like he's like, oh, let's pull these scams. They're just a bunch of fun. Oh, we're always
Yeah,
having
like
fun scamming people.
a great example is there's a scene when he's walking around early in the movie where he's like, oh, well, let's go get some lunch. And he scams these like grade school kids out of their lunch and their lunch money by like playing them in basketball and cheating.
Yes. Which does he know those kids, or is it
I don't
just?
know.
And what does he win? He wins their school lunches.
Yeah.
All right, so let me give you some of these lyrics. And it begins with him, he's in the shower singing about himself.
Yeah, and he's also like basically every time there's a new bar or set of lyrics, he kind of like changed, like it's a new cut to like a new disguise.
And a new like new props and stuff.
Yeah.
I like to party with my peeps, cruise and creep, playing three card Monty on these crazy streets, straight hustler. I'm gonna scam in a minute, so low to the floor, pick the pocket on the M word for little people.
Yeah.
Slick shyster, the pest meister, living life in Miami's Vice. And then in an Edward G. Robinson voice, he says, Ma, see, nobody messing with the frog, see? Then he's got the oh boy the then he's got on thick glasses and he's supposed to be doing an Asian caricature, but he's also kind of doing like Jerry Lewis voice.
I was just gonna say, like, I don't know if he's doing an Asian character, or if he was doing like a nutty
Maybe
professor.
I'm conflating it with later on when he does a
Oh,
couple
he
of different
definitely
Asian
does it later
characters.
on.
Yeah, light nice lady, I'm hurting. I'm sexy, but I'm hurting. All right, already. My favorite line, I'm
Oh, I know this
ridiculous
one.
like a booger. I stick to this. Take a whiff of this.
This.
He farts and then dress like Dracula. I go, I was like the Count from Sesame Street. He says, one stinky dinky, ha ha ha. Two stinky dinky, ha ha ha. This is the first minute of this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot going. I could see how someone watches this first minute and it's just like, okay, I'm out.
And you also would not, if you watch that, you would get an idea of the tone. But if you said, okay, what's the plot of this movie? You would not guess, oh, I bet some guy who wants to hunt man is going to trick him into a contract where he's going to hunt him.
Yeah, this is a classic like bait and switch movie. Where like you think it's gonna be one thing, and then it's like, oh, he's on this island for a lot of the movie, and he's being hunted.
A
Like,
private island
okay,
that's close enough to Miami, Florida that he could swim.
yeah, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. We're still
Mirror,
on
mirror on the
the
wall, Who's the slickest of them all? I'm the schemiest, keenest scam artist. God, it's so hard to be modest. Jack might be nimble, but I'm a sex symbol. So slick, I stole the wick from his candlestick. I'm in the mood to scam simply because I can. He does that,
As alfalfa.
alfalfa from, I'm a Latin
Kids like
Houdini.
alfalfa.
Yeah. I'm a Latin who, and he has like his hair is like he keeps changing. And you see like outside his family's waiting to go in the bathroom. And you just, there's no reality in this movie, but you would think like this guy's taking a shower and he's like taking time to like change costumes. It's
Yeah,
so,
they can hear him in there
yeah. Like,
clearly.
oh, he's doing his rap again. He's doing his whole
Especially, he's
thing
doing the
again.
stinky dinky bullshit again.
Is he up to the, what voice is he up to? I think he just did
Yeah,
alfalfa.
oh, you didn't even do the Carmen Miranda yet.
Hey Lucy, I'm home. Don't do that to me, Lucy. He's doing Ricky Ricardo. Freak to the east, freak to the west, great big booties and big chests. Then yes, y'all, it's like that. Why certainly knock, knock, knock. He does Curly from the Three Stooges a couple times in this movie.
Yeah.
Get stupid, get R word, cause pest will get the party started. Which way did he go, George? Which way did he go? Of Looney Tunes. This
Yeah.
movie is sort of a cartoon. But if you saw this movie, I think if you saw this opening scene, I think you could easily be like, oh, this is probably like the Dana Carvey vehicle Master of Disguise. This is probably a kid's movie, right? And you'd
Right.
be like, no, because all of the comedy in this movie has one specific theme, which is race and ethnicity. Everybody has
Yes.
one thing, and your thing could be you're Scottish, your thing could be you're Chinese, your thing could be you're gay, and that's all that defines you. And all the jokes are based on those things. That's it. There's no if nothing else.
No,
It's
and much like Master of Disguise, like if you watch, I don't know how long ago you've watched Master of Disguise, but
I don't know if I've ever watched the whole thing, to be honest with you.
that may be something to put on the docket for a later episode, but it's another one where like he becomes the master of disguise and does like two disguises, and then like the rest of the movie is a whole other vehicle. And I feel like that's
Okay.
kind of the same way here, where it's like, yeah, you see him doing a lot of these small cons in the beginning, but
Yeah.
once the movie gets going, it's like he doesn't really con anyone.
No, he does it. It reminds me a little bit of the, this is another late 90s classic, the Jerky Boys movie,
I was thinking exactly the same thing.
where he, while he's trying to get out of situations, he finds ways to bring in characters.
Yes.
Fuck yeah. But you know what? He doesn't always. I think this might be, again, I'm an adult, but this might be my low, the I think the worst kind of comedy, the Master of Disguise comedy, the I'm gonna dress up as different things, because John Leguizamo is, I think, talented at doing accents. He does do accents
Yeah.
well, but he doesn't have the content. Like at one point in the beginning, he sees like an Irish priest. Which also shows you, it's like a save the cat moment. It shows you like, oh, Pest isn't a bad guy. He's just a scam artist. That's all. He's good. He scams for the church. So he sees this Irish priest and he does an Irish accent because he also does this thing where with everybody he encounters, he pretends to be what they are. They're one ethnic thing. He's like, I'm that thing too.
He's constantly like throwing it back in everyone's face.
Yeah. But he says things like, Leprechaun, Lucky Charms, Magically Delicious. Like, that's the level of like reference he makes.
Yeah, like doesn't he later on when he's trying to do the Asian act, he does the, I was gonna say classic, that's the wrong word to use. The cliche, like, oh, Mitsubishi, Honda, like
Yes.
Suzuki, like he's just
No,
naming Japanese things.
nothing's worse than when he's pretending to like read or speak a different language. It's just the racist kid in your third grade class
Yeah.
doing it. It's ridiculous.
You mean ridiculous?
Like a bug, I stick to this. I gotta give some credits here because credit, all credit where it's due, of course. If anything, PCMC believes in that. It's directed by Paul Miller, who his career is really interesting. He directs a lot of non-fiction TV. So he does like Carol Burnett 90th anniversary special or what's his face's Christmas special, or like so, he does
Really?
some stand-up comedy specials. The best way I can describe him is He doesn't really do TV shows, but he does non-fiction TV specials.
Okay.
The movie is written by John Leguizamo and David Barkatz, who really has done nothing.
Now, going back to that, to the song at the beginning, though,
Yes, please.
I think I've
We
already
can talk
revealed
about
this
that
to
the
you.
entire episode if you like.
I do. I think I've mentioned this to you when we initially were broaching this topic, so you may already know the answer. But do you know who sings the actual Voodoo Mambo part?
The female vocal Voodoo Mambo.
Yes.
No, who?
Maya Rudolph.
What? Why?
Because her dad, Richard Rudolph, did the score for the film,
Holy
and
sh.
Maya Rudolph at that point was trying to be a singer. She was in the band The Rentals, which I'm a big fan of,
Oh
for a
my
little
God.
while. She did some solo stuff.
And her mother was a
And yeah,
singer, right?
her mother was Minnie Riperton, who did "Loving You
Oh,
Is
right.
Easy Because You're Beautiful." Because at the end of that song, she starts singing the word Maya, and that's
Right,
her
right,
mom.
right, right. So,
A
wow,
weird SNL connection.
that is not. I was not. I don't know who I thought you were saying, but I did not think you would say Maya Rudolph.
Right?
That's absolutely wild. That's such interesting. I wonder if you got. She's out. You have a few drinks. You go. You know, can you do a little Voodoo Mambo for everybody? Come on.
Which that piece of music though, like take the rapping out of it, like they keep returning to it. It's like a runner in the film.
It's
It's
his
the best,
theme.
it's great. It's actually a great
Yeah.
theme.
And in some ways, it reminds me of the score to Ace Ventura. I think Jim Carrey is an interesting comp here because I think they are trying to go for that. Because this is very Ace Ventura-esque. He does this thing throughout the movie when he's not doing an accent and he's, I guess, doing his normal speaking voice or the character's normal speaking voice, he'll be like, he won't say like I liked it. He'd be like I liked it in it. Like he does a lot of
Yeah, he'll
that.
add extra syllables. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go back to what we were saying before. So you were talking about how you liked it as a kid. I think this is the difference between our ages because I'm like what 5 years older than you or more than that.
Yeah.
I would have liked this as a kid, but it came out when I was like when I was a little older. So I didn't check it out, and then I finally saw it. When I was like in my early 20s, and I had a friend who was like, "Oh, you're gonna like this movie," and we watched it. And I was like, "Really?" I was like, "This is," and I was sort of a comedy snob at that point, so I was
Yeah.
like, "This is terrible." I don't even know if I finished it. I think I watched just most of it. And I probably found more joy out of watching it now because of just how insanely bad it is. It's
There
not
is earnestness.
well, it's not like boring. It's not slow. In fact, it's obnoxiously high paced, like Ace Ventura, but even more so. Like it's actually exhausting to watch this movie because John Leguizamo never ever is off. He's on from the second the movie begins. His switch is on, and he is on, and he is going, and he's talking fast and double talking and swapping into different. He I don't know how he. Where the costumes he gets come from, but he's ready to do it.
Yeah,
So
there is something
sometimes,
impressive to it.
yeah, some of his disguises I think are not necessary. Like he has a job as a delivery person at a Chinese restaurant,
Yeah,
and
but and he's Chinese and he's pretending to be Chinese, but it's like you don't need to be Chinese to be a delivery driver.
right. You obviously get off on this. Because you can, this is not a scam. This is, you have an actual job here. You don't need to put on a like mushroom haircut wig and be doing an offensive accent. You don't need that. That's not
And
necessary.
that's one of the and that's one of the scams that lasts like way too long. Like you think it's gonna because he's on the run at that point, so you think it's gonna be like, oh, he runs in for like 2 minutes and then runs out and goes somewhere else. But like they linger on that fucking Chinese food delivery scene for quite a little bit.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, because Jeffrey Jones is in it and he plays a German. Because again, everything, this whole movie is just predicated on your ethnicity or your race. Everybody has one stroke, right?
Yeah.
And so he's a German, which also means he's a Nazi. Okay. So he's an evil German and he's rich and he's going, when you see him in the beginning going around with his like partner or his manservant, and they're looking for like a specimen, which we find out later is he's a hunter, but he ran out of animals to hunt, so now he hunts man, but not just humans. He's hunted every race and ethnicity, and the last one left is a Latino person. But the oh God, it's so fucked up. When he goes to his private island, he sees like human heads on the wall, like stuffed heads. And he'd like you see like an African American head and a Chinese head and a Japanese head, and then there's one empty spot for him, and it's I'm not gonna say the whole thing, but the plaque beneath the thing says a made up Latin word, Latinus, right? That, and then the second one is a slur. Yes. It as they would say in the 1990s, this movie's not offensive because they give it to everybody. Remember, like when your uncle would say that shit?
I'm an equal opportunity offender.
Yeah, I gave it to everybody.
I don't just hate blacks, I hate everyone.
Right. Including blacks.
They're just in the mix.
Right. So I didn't like it. So
Basically, what this movie does
yeah.
is, yes. When I read this on the Wikipedia, I was like, did they really like either get the rights or it was in the public domain? And they really like this movie is really a take on the world's most dangerous game. Like, this is what they
I guess
chose to
so.
do with that idea,
Yeah.
where it's like, we're gonna hunt man, but it's gonna be John Leguizamo as the pest.
Yeah.
And basically, like, they like you said, Jeffrey Jones and his henchman are looking for people to hunt, they find him, then. That's like 20 minutes into the movie. Then the next like 45 minutes are him on this island making poopies and like trying to get out of trouble
Well, that's the
and
thing.
not get murdered. And then like Jeffrey Jones has a gay son.
And that's his one thing, that he's gay.
Yeah, and he's like weirdly attracted to the pest, but
Well,
like
that's the
it's
homophobia,
very weird.
right? That's the gay panic, right? Like,
Yeah.
if you're straight and you meet a gay person, they're gonna want to have sex with you, and so that's his one and only thing. But he's not. So you'd think that he would be on the island the whole time, but not really. They're on the island for like 25 minutes or something, and then like you said, yeah, like there's a shitting joke where he's like, they're like, what's that noise? And then you see like John Leguizamo squatting in the woods taking a shit, and you just hear like terrible like sound effects. And then he goes to the gay son, whose name is Himmel, I think, and he's like, we gotta get out of here. And again, Himmel's whole thing is he's gay, and also that he wants to fuck John Leguizamo. He this God, it's offensive. He And it's not just offensive because it's offensive. It's offensive because it's offensively not funny. He's trying to get in the house, and Himmel's like, I don't know, I can't let you in, my dad will be mad. And then John Leguizamo turns around and like shows him his butt, and he's like, oh, okay, I'll let you in, because that's what you gotta do for a gay guy.
Hey, you just gotta show him your butt.
Just show him your butt, and he's like, oh, I'm gay, I like butts. So then they're like, oh, let's steal a boat and get away. So they steal a boat. Then this scene's disgusting. They steal it cuts to them like both
Oh,
being
yeah.
sick and throwing up on each other and throwing up overboard. And like the one thing the movie didn't have going for it was gross out humor, but then this
And
then
then it hits it.
it hits it. And then John Leguizamo was like, I'm leaving, and he jumps off the boat and swims back to Miami. And then
Yeah,
he
how
meets,
close was this island that
I know. And
it
then he
swam
meets
back to
back
my.
up with his friends, Ninja and Chubbs. And now they're back in Miami and they're running around and they're kind of being, Jeffrey Jones is kind of chasing them. But there's also another antagonist, which is the Scottish Mafia.
Yes.
And there's a funny idea here somewhere. Because of there, so there, so from what you know from this movie, right? What I've already told you, you can guess what does the Scottish Mafia look like? Every guy has red hair and a kilt because they're Scottish. Understand? This movie has all the comedic integrity of like a Punch and Judy show. It's truly, it's also I compare it to Minstrelsy, and I mean, and I don't mean that. I don't take that lightly. Like Minstrel. The whole sort of comedic language of it is based on ethnicity. Oh, I lost my train of thought. This movie's
He's
really
got the
mind-boggling to me.
integrity. Yeah, he's got the integrity of, or the comedic ability of, the fuck was that? The comedy puppeteer, Jeff Dunham.
Jeff Dunham, yes. Yeah, you know what? You could tell this is pre-9/11 because there's actually no Middle Eastern.
Oh, you know there would have been a Middle
You
Eastern
oh he
thing
would
in
have been
there.
like it, and it would have been all jokes about like 9/11 and look at
Yeah.
me I'm bombing people or whatever. At
Yeah,
one
our
point,
deliveries are the bomb, like.
yeah, like he does the Chinese food thing so long. At one point he's like, you might have noticed there's not a lot of dogs in this neighborhood anymore. And it's like, oh, it's like if you have like a
Yeah.
you could have a bingo card of like hack racist tropes, and it's like, okay, there's the dog joke, and
But then there's like
where's
stuff
the
that's not
MSG
even
joke?
believe.
There it is,
But then there's
MSG.
stuff that's not even believable, like the whole thing with the dog. You're like, oh, my pet Quacky, like
Right.
hey.
Well, we're
Like the
supposed to
whole
be
yeah.
laughing. We're supposed to be just our sides are splitting laughing with shit like that.
You're like, oh, look at him. He's flim-flamming this Asian guy by this roast duck.
I remember I was gonna say the there so the thing that's could be funny is with the Scottish Mafia, for whatever reason, Pest owes them $50,000, and they're like mad. They're after him, and the head of the Scottish mob is like, "You want to treat us this way if we were the Italian mob?" And like, it's like, okay, that's a kind of funny idea. That's a kernel of an idea that could be funny, but they never do anything with it because it's lazy. This movie is very lazy in its comedy. It's got to be whatever's like at the top level. You know what I mean? Like no depth to what it's trying to do.
Yeah, and then even some stuff is just like, oh, did you just do this because you wanted to do it? Like when they pull up to the club, there's a whole scene
Oh
where
man.
these two white dudes are like blasting a knockoff version of I Love Rock and Roll,
Yeah.
and they get into this sort of like stereo battle where like
Yeah.
Chubbs hits a button on his car and it turns into like a big stereo system and they
Yeah.
start playing a big song called The Butt, I think it was.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And the
Yeah.
song and the power of the song like blows the other two guys away.
Right.
And
Yeah.
then they
It's.
do, and then after they win, Ari Spears has this runner where he keeps doing a butthead impression.
Yeah. They're dope. They're doing Beavis and Butthead, which even at this point, this is 97. That's like 4 years too late to
Yeah.
be. Also, I feel like. That's some real low bottom of the barrel comedy. That's some like bad sitcom level comedy where it's like you're not even doing a joke. You're just reminding us of something that we find funny elsewhere.
Right.
Like when like in sitcoms in the 2000s where people be like doing Austin Powers impressions. Like that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about that scene is like the two white guys are like preppy and they say some like kind of prejudice stuff to John Leguizamo, and so like they're the bad guys for this moment. But it's also like, well, everything in this movie is making fun of every single race. Like, why are these guys now the bad guys?
Right. Speaking of that, that segues quite nicely into the scene with his girlfriend's family,
I was gonna
where
say.
John, there's a point where John Leguizamo is like, now they're on the run. Now they're back in Miami,
Yeah.
and one of the last places he goes to before the big finale is he goes to his girlfriend's for dinner, and
Wow, this
he,
scene. Wow.
wow, I forgot about this scene. I
It
must have
blew me
lied this
away.
out,
I was
like.
genuinely like, no,
Full on
no.
blackface, but not only blackface,
Well,
like
not there's no
full.
actual makeup blackface, but he is wearing an Afro wig
Yeah.
and like he has like a drum and it and dressed in like this African garb. And why is he doing that? Because his girlfriend's black and her parents are black, so that's her one thing. So
Right.
to impress his girlfriend's parents, he's gonna come and acts black. By the way, I could just see like Donald Trump watching this movie and being like, just like it's
You
like
know they do
Kamala.
stuff like that. No, that's just like Kamala.
She's be in
I don't
the
know. Is she black or is she Indian? I don't know. I
No,
don't
she's
know. I don't
black.
know.
She I look the way he says black,
She's
black.
black.
Who let him in front of that group of black reporters and didn't know that's exactly what was going to happen?
Oh, yeah, and then he yelled at the black reporters for asking him
You'd
tough questions.
be very nasty. That's a very nasty question.
You know, I know some of them have a reputation for being nasty. I didn't want to think about it.
Yeah.
It's true.
To me, the in terms of pop culture, the most interesting thing about Donald Trump that I've learned that is like, wow, that says so much about him is, you know, the movie Bloodsport with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like Trump's favorite movie. But listen to this. He had someone who works for him make him, this was back in, I guess, the 80s or 90s, make him a VHS of it where the dialogue's cut out. So he
What?
could just watch the fight scene. So Donald Trump's favorite movie is an edited version of Bloodsport where it's just the fight scenes.
I don't like the talking.
But anyway, so yeah, he's going and he's and the dad is the guy from Terminator 2, the scientist.
Yes.
And he and they're not really like, I don't know, maybe this is clever, maybe it's not. They're not they're very American. They're not really like African, very
They're very
American
yuppie.
people, right? Yeah, yuppie kind of people. And then John Leguizamo's like, and I guess we are supposed to think he's ridiculous in this moment, but it's also we're supposed to be just laughing. We're supposed to be like, ah, look at him now. This was his plan. That was his pl If a person like this existed, they would be put away. His plan was, by the way, does his girlfriend look like a quarter of his age? The girlfriend looks like she's 16 and he looks like he's 42.
It's true. It is.
His plan to impress his girlfriend's parents are, I'm gonna dress in an Afro wig because, and it's like, what's the logic there that they're gonna think he's black? He's such a master of disguise. He'll just,
Right.
they'll think he's black. See, there's
I
only
mean,
one thing about people, and that's their ethnicity. You understand?
and he nailed
Yeah.
it.
Was there any, watching it now as an adult, is there any joke that you liked? Was there anything that made you laugh? Is there anything that you were like, that's actually good?
Oh, geez, what a tough question. Damn, you're making me really relive the whole movie now.
I'm asking you because I have one, and
Okay, what's yours?
I didn't think I would. When they're on the island and he's trying to run away, and I guess Jeffrey Jones' goon like grabs him. He sort of picks John Leguizamo up and he starts like peeing his pants. And John Leguizamo says, "I'm sorry, I couldn't make it to the newspaper," which actually I thought was funny. Like he was
Okay.
a puppy. I couldn't make it to the newspaper. I was like, ah, that's actually funny. And it's the one joke that's not like
Not
a race
racist.
joke.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think there's like a joke. Like it's just one groaner after another.
I wonder how John Leguizamo feels about this now. Because even if he's proud of it, I'm sure.
Like, does he show his kids? Like, oh, you're gonna love this.
Like, they don't play this anywhere anymore. You know, I actually had to pay like $4 to watch this, which is
Really? I thought it was
really a
like free
crime.
on YouTube.
I didn't go on YouTube. I tried
Oh.
to. At first, I thought I heard it was on Tubi, but then it wasn't on Tubi. It was like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
By the way, this movie is very poorly made too. The opening credits are basically like Comic Sans.
It's like a Nickelodeon cartoon.
Yeah. And then there's a scene on the island where you're doing shot reverse shot, right? You're doing a conversation between the bad guy and the pest. And it's in daylight. And when you see the pest's coverage, it's sort of an overcast day, but then when you see the bad guy's coverage, it's clearly raining, like clearly raining,
Oh.
and it keeps cutting back and forth, and it's clearly not raining in the other shot. And Jeffrey Jones is not—he's not acting like it's raining. He's sort of probably being directed to pretend it's not. Don't worry, it's not
Yeah.
going to show. But it very much
I
shows, and it to me, it's like wow, and what a very, what a, on a very technical level, how this movie is so flawed.
Well, it's
Such little
unfortunate you think
talent.
that way because I am breaking pest news from last year.
Yeah, from last
So
year.
this is from comicbook.com. The headline is John Leguizamo weighs in on plans for the Pest 2. And it says he says fans are always asking for more from the world of the Pest, but he isn't sure whether he could get into that higher energy mindset again. Quote, I think the Pest is interesting because when I go to Comic-Cons, kids always want me to sign a Pest picture. They have a Pest DVD or a VHS of it or a poster. And I'm like, what? Really? You love this movie? And they're like, yeah, that opening credits and the movie is the funniest thing ever. I don't believe this. I do not believe anyone says this next part. It was Get Out before Get Out.
Shut up. It was Get Out before Get.
Because I'm being hunted by this great white hunter who wants to put a Puerto Rican on his mantle. Everyone's asking for a sequel to that, and I'm like, I don't know. I think I've aged out of playing that kind of hyper silly.
Get Out is the sequel, clearly. Wow, to try to spin it.
Get Out before Get Out.
What a spin.
That's the biggest reveal in maybe this entire podcast history. Like
Yeah.
the
I
John
do.
Leguizamo thinks Get Out that like the Pest is a precursor to Get Out.
Yeah. I guess I get what he's saying, but it does so much making fun of gay people and
And black
various
people.
Asian people and black people that you're like, I don't know if I could give it any cred. You know what I mean? Like any like it doesn't earn any liberal cred.
Also, where are these kids run? I want footage of these people running up to him at
Yeah.
Comic Cons of like Pest DVDs and posters.
I think it sounds truthful though that the children say the opening credits is the best thing because it
Yeah, you know what?
is.
I bet they just watch the opening credits over and over again and they just stop.
Yeah. I mean, other than a few things like saying the R word, you could kind of show this to opening credits to a kid and they'd be like, oh, that's silly and funny. And then you just immediately shut it
Yeah.
off. You're like, okay, we can't
Right.
watch any more than this.
Yeah.
There's a character in it named Malaria. Who is his girlfriend's best friend who gives him shit, which I feel like was a very distinctly 90s trope. Like,
Right, the like annoying girlfriend, best friend that because he needs a foil to make fun of in the relationship that.
right. And who, like, what was in Martin? Remember his girlfriend Gina? She had a best
Yeah, she had a
friend.
best friend.
Who was her best friend? Pam?
Oh,
Was it Pam?
I think so.
Right. It feels a lot like that. Oh, there's another interesting moment where in the beginning he's pulling a three card Monty scam, but he's pretending to be blind because let's not leave ableism out of this.
No.
So we gotta make fun of the blind. So he's pretending to be blind, and like a guy comes up to him and he's like, "Sir," and he's like, "How do you know I'm a sir?" And he's like, "Oh, I could hear your gonads jiggling."
Oh.
And it's like, okay, okay, sure.
Gonad's a very 90s word too.
Yeah. But then two Scottish toughs come after him and he pants them both. And one has on boxer shorts, but wouldn't you know it, the other one? He's got on red satin panties and
Whoa.
oh, he's dressed like a lady under his kilt. Uh-oh. He's one of them.
A little light in his loafers.
Just like the Geoffrey Jones son character. I mean, not that obviously this is not like the most vulnerable target in this movie, but it is also kind of it must be offensive to German people that this movie just equates German and Nazi. German is Nazi, Nazi is German.
Oh, yeah.
If you're German, you hunt humans and you're evil. Like
And then
no
how
one
about
gets out of this
that like
unscathed, I guess.
no, and then like how about that ending where it gets like the closest it gets to sincerity, where like all his family and friends are about to be murdered.
Yeah.
And then like the pest they think the pest has died. And like, oh no, our beloved Pistorius has been murdered. And then it turns out it was all a scam. It was all the final piece of his scam to
Right.
get those German bastards.
Right, 'cause we haven't said the villain, he to lure John Leguizamo in. He's like he the villain somehow finds out that he owes $50,000 to the Scottish mafia. So he's like, oh, well, my fan. He's like, have you ever gone to college? And he's like, no. He tells some joke about having a big dick as a child, and that's why he didn't go to college. It's hard to track. And he's like, oh, well, my family, we sponsor, we do scholarships. You know, I have a $50,000 cash scholarship. And John Leguizamo was like, oh, well, yeah, I want to do it. Come on, send me to college. And that is the ultimate goal. And then also at the end, or somewhere in the middle, and this would make no sense. Why would you believe this for a second? The villain's like, you know, you've got 24 hours. If I don't kill you in 24 hours, you get to keep this $50,000. And he just accepts that as okay, that's the rules. I just got to stay alive for 24 hours.
Right.
And then I can have this $50,000 and pay off these gangsters that want to murder me. Do you remember the sequence where they're like, oh, when he says he'll do the scholarship, and they're like, well, we have to test him to see if he's a good specimen to be hunted. And like they put
Yeah,
him
they
in
basically
like
put him
a
through astronaut training.
centrifuge. Yes, yeah. And then he throws up, and then oh, what other things? Oh, like they but then it gets increasingly less interesting. Like they have him do splits, and then they have him like play tennis, which is like, okay,
Yeah.
that's a far cry from the thing you were in that was spinning you around. And then they kind of just dropped it. They're like, all right, we'll just do him. That's fine. Even
Yeah, it's
though
kind of like that stuff didn't need to be. It's like, oh, the last 10 minutes of scenes didn't need to happen
well,
because we're going to take them anyway.
this movie's short and it's still like stretching. It's like
Oh, yeah.
it, I mean, think about it. If you took out that opening rap, this movie's like 70 minutes or something. You need that opening
There's
part.
basically three or four major plot points in this movie. Like, it's
Yeah.
not big at all. It's like the opening stuff that establishes that he's a con artist. Then the stuff where he tries to get the $50,000 and goes on the island. Then the part where he goes back to Miami and they're on the run. And then the whole ending scene where Jeffrey Jones tranks all his family and friends, and they all end up in the docks.
Yeah, they're or like yeah, they're in like a pier first, and then Ari Spears and John Leguizamo show up, and then they're like they're wearing camouflage for some reason, and they have gun. They figure I don't know where they get the guns from. I'm not sure what the fuck's happening. You don't see the Germans capture all of the pest loved ones. You just at one moment he calls them and he's like guess what? I've got your whole family here and your girlfriend's family and everybody.
Yeah.
And it's like,
And
oh
he
my
just
God, I
does.
want to see that harrowing scene. I want to see the pest family at home. Like, oh, just, you know, it's nice to have a nice quiet
Then Jeffrey Jones busts in the door.
with a fucking machine gun. He's like, you're all hostages now. Yeah. At the end, why does, I don't remember. At some point, because he wants to do a Japanese impression. Because he already did Chinese, so you gotta get all the racism out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you
So
got to cover all the bases.
he sees a Japanese guy wearing a suit and he like follows him into it's one of those like S Star Wars, like follow him into the bathroom and then there's a fight and then he comes out and he's wearing what he's wearing. But like, why can't he just do it without the suit? Like, why did he need the gray suit to be the Japanese guy? Just do your stupid impression. Like, why? Why is that necessary? A lot of it's not necessary. Like I said, a lot of it's not necessary. It's not necessary that he pretends to be Chinese just because he works at a Chinese food restaurant. At the end, he pretends to be the German ambassador. I
Yeah.
don't understand why. He doesn't need to do that at
Got a
all.
big mustache, and it's
This
very
man
odd.
tried to murder you and your family. Just tell the cops and things are fine. You don't have to pretend to be the German ambassador and tell the cops. Just be yourself and tell the
Yeah,
cops.
give them the hot tip that, hey, there's a murderer in this.
Yeah.
Here's the money. Here's where he's keeping the money.
Right. Because he does this whole thing where at the docks at the end, they're like, guess what? When everything just started and we had a toast to the hunt, we actually poisoned you, and that poison takes 18 hours to work. So you're gonna die any second now. And then he passes out. And then they leave thinking they've won, the Germans. And then they go to a bank where they have the $50,000 in a safety deposit box. I don't know why. It's supposed to be their money. And he goes to the safety deposit box and he opens it up and there's nothing in it but a paper that says answer the phone. And then the phone rings and it's the pest. And he's like, yeah, my friend, the German ambassador told the cops about what you did and you're going away, buddy. And it's like, why is any of
The
it? And he's
biggest
like, but
Shaggy dog. It's like a Norm Macdonald joke. This is
yeah,
like,
right.
yeah, my friend, the German ambassador over there has got something to say about
Yeah.
this.
And it's just, you just need more beats to sort of stretch it out. And the German's like, well, then, like, what do you mean? We poisoned you. And he's like, yeah, but I threw up. And I was like, wait, is that why we had that stupid vomit scene? Was that actually
It's
paying
all
off in some way?
connected.
It's Chekhov's vomit scene.
Exactly.
But again, he tried to murder you, so you don't need to pretend to be a German ambassador at all. You can literally just say this guy tried to kill me. And then during the closing credits, they play the opening song again.
It's so good. Like, you
Like, hey
gotta
guys,
give the
remember
people what they
this?
want.
You
Yeah,
guys
remember that
remember
song
this?
we've played in between every major scene of this movie?
It's almost like one big music video. Because something will happen and then it'll get right back into dun 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 dun
And
dun.
again, it's a great track, but like, if that's all you got, like, it says a lot about your movie.
How do we find out? I'm not good with music. Where do we look up how things sell sold? I want to know how many the Pest soundtracks they sold in 1997. Was this thing flying off the shelves?
Oh, I have no clue. I wish. I don't think there was a soundtrack.
That would be
It must have been. It
an
must have been
absolute
released.
absurdity. I'm gonna Google it.
Because I feel like I was looking it up a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think it was like released in America.
That's only in Germany.
The
That's
Pest
crazy
original
if that's true.
soundtrack,
That's
not on Amazon.
I'm seeing yeah, I'm just seeing VHSs. That's really absurd. You're telling me the kids weren't watching the box and calling up and
Play the Pest soundtrack.
play
Play
Voodoo
Voodoo
Mambo.
Mambo.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Wonder what Maya Rudolph thinks of being on.
You know what? If I ever get a chance to talk to her, I am absolutely gonna say, I'm gonna be like, listen, we gotta talk about Voodoo Mambo.
She'll be like, "What?
She'd be like, thank you. I've been waiting for this question.
You've been waiting for. Thank you, finally."
Thank you. I just want to read some of the comments on the YouTube video for Voodoo Mambo.
Oh,
This is
yes, please.
this one's from 5 months ago. Bro, it's 2024 and I'm still jamming to this down the highway.
Highway.
This has got to be a joke. This is my son's favorite song before he passed away at the age of 14. We played it at his funeral. Rest in peace, Kobe. That's got to
Rest
be
in peace,
that
Kobe.
can't be real, right? That's got to be a
Played
bit.
it. Son Kobe. Imagine being at the funeral. And you're walking into the wake, and you just hit.
Dun, 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 dun,
You're
dun, dun.
like, wait a minute, is
Guys,
that
in honor of
Pest?
Kobe, come dress as your favorite ethnicity,
Yeah,
and
come dress as your favorite
no
Pest song.
subtlety allowed. Really go for it. Really go for it. Be sure to hit up Party City before you come over. Someone else wrote, "This is still a certified hood classic,
Okay.
2021, and it's still a banger. This song has no right to slap this hard." I agree.
Yeah.
2020 reporting in. This movie is my definition of a cult classic when it comes to John. I've been dancing and singing to this shower scene even before the movie came out. That doesn't make sense to me. The soundtrack to this movie is so catchy. The intro and speaker battle will always be played in the back of my mind. I don't think there was a soundtrack. Although it makes sense that there would be, right? Because you're right, there is that like basically musical scene
Yeah.
where it gets magical and Ari Spears' truck turns into like a stage with amplifiers.
Boomboxes, amplifiers, yeah. I'm
Somebody
looking
just
at review. No, go ahead.
10 years ago, somebody commented, "They killed Quacky dot dot dot."
Okay.
This song is still better than most of the crap on radio today. Thank you. Thanks, Grandpa. Can you imagine actually hearing this on the radio?
I'd love it. I would
I mean, yeah,
stop
because
my
we have
car
that.
dead. Like,
I'd be like, no way this is happening. Because
imagine
you
you
know
just
what?
hear it
I
and you
know
hear it
every
on the
fucking
oldie
line.
station.
I know every
Yeah.
line to it. I sing right along with it.
I'm reading the review. Me and my brother grew up watching this movie. This movie is right up there with the Ace Ventura movie. If you're looking for a fun, funny, goofball movie, this is the one for you. You'll be laughing so hard, your sides are going to hurt.
I want to look it up, but oh my God, it's got
It's a 4%.
4%. Yowzes. January 1st, this came out New Year's Day, 1997. It's only got a 67 audience score. So it's not, even the audience score is not great.
If you like comedy and original content from the intro to the end, you'll like this. All-star cast was on the come up in this one.
From New York, this is the New York, this is a piece from the New York Times at the time. I'm reading this from Rotten Tomatoes. When Mr. Leguizamo isn't doing third-rate ethnic parody, he's wallowing in scatological jokes that are so poorly prepared and executed that they make similar antics by Mr. Carey play like classic routines. So there really are, it's really the Ace Ventura of it all is prevalent.
Yeah.
Also from, oh no, this is New Times. If you had any doubt that John Leguizamo is not funny, this movie handily reinforced that notion.
I
I'm
hate
surprised that
myself
there
for
aren't
watching this.
contemporary, I'm surprised that this hasn't like gotten a bunch of contemporary blog reviews that brought the score up. You ever see those movies where it's like it's an old shitty movie, but it's kind of got a decent score because it's got
Oh, it's
reviews
got the
from when it
Midnight
came
Movie
out?
Circuit or something.
Yeah, and then it's got like new people being like looking back at it.
Yeah, it's like, well, I thought Sallow was pretty good. I love this review. I hate myself for watching this. If I could turn back time, it wouldn't be to stop myself from watching it. I would go back to prevent my mom from ever conceiving me.
But
Like, well, that's jokes on you there. That's,
where are the people that are dying for the sequel?
I don't know. There's a lot of people here who do love it. Like, love this as a kid, still watch it at 30. This
It
movie
had,
has
look,
aged well. John Leguizamo is hilarious.
I can't defend Ace Ventura because I have not seen it in 20 years, probably. But just from my memory, and I'm sure it's very offensive, I know the end is extremely transphobic,
Yeah.
but just from my memory, there was more. It was this energy level, but there were jokes that were about things other than ethnicity.
Right.
That's the thing that I really that's the thing that shocked me when I watched it today. That's really all it is. It's all just ethnicity jokes. And
Yeah,
what's
there's no subtlety to it. There's no joke that makes you like sort of perk up and go, oh. Okay, oh,
Yeah.
that was actually pretty good.
And it's clear that it's not just like a movie that he was cast in. It's clearly something that was developed for him and by
Oh,
him.
it's a vehicle.
Right. It is, look at all the crazy shit I can do. This will be my reel, this whole movie.
You know what it is? It's the Mad TV to Ace Ventura's SNL.
Wow. With those true words, I think we have to wrap this episode up. Then, thank you so much for being here. You are ridiculous. Like a booger, I stick to this. What's going on with you? Talk about your Substack.
Yeah, for people who don't know, I write articles twice a week. I'm doing a whole series basically that's doing critical analysis of music videos. So twice a week you get some articles on that. Right now I've got one up that was earlier this week on the Easy Lover video with Phil Collins and Philip Bailey from Earth, Wind and Fire. The music video for Mama Used to Say, which I don't know if you remember that song.
I do. It went like
And
this, right?
then
Bam 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 bam.
exactly. And then two of my favorite ones that I've done recently, I did one on the Kiss Lick It Up video, which was the video when they first dropped their makeup.
I've never seen that
And
one.
it's not good.
Oh, sure.
It's basically like, oh, let's take everything that makes this band special and just strip it down to just generic 80s rock band.
Don't they have a
And
disco
then,
record from that
yes, they
time?
do. For called Dynasty back in the late 70s.
That's
That's the
where
one
I
that had
was
I
made
Was
for.
Made for Loving
Yeah,
You in
yeah. I
it.
was saying that's actually like not a bad song.
No, it's a great song. And the other one now it's just people check out. I did one on the Beastie Boys Intergalactic video.
Yes, I like that a lot. I'm a kaiju tokusatsu fan, and you get into the tokusatsu influences of it, and I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, so go check it out. It's vinforte.substack.com. You'll be prompted to enter your email. Do it. It's free and it helps me out because you get all the new articles sent to your email, and that's a it's just a nice reminder. You keep coming back.
Well, then we end every episode by saying go bye bye. Can you say go bye bye
In a Japanese accent.
with the most offensive accent you can think of?
Oh, Jesus
No,
Christ.
don't do it. Don't do it. Just say go bye bye
Okay.
like a normal person.
Go bye bye.